Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Okay. That was a magnificent NBA game last night, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, that was, I watched throughout the whole thing, and I wouldn't say like the defense was poor. It was just incredible shot making. You'll see a lot of 128, 126s in the regular season, and it's like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, guys were hot and, you know, there's not much resistance. Like, that was super physical. And guys were
really
just
physical,
really being aggressive to create advantages to where they drew extra guys and hit open teammates. And they, the open teammates were hitting shots in the case of the Wolves. And for the Thunder, a lot of times it was, hey, I'm going to push and shove and battle to get to my spot in the mid-range and hit this contested shot. Like, it was great. And we did go to the rim. Guess what? Like, you were heavily contested. And a lot of times you got your shot swatted. And it was just, I mean, I think if you just, in terms of ideal playoff basketball, I think that game fit the bill 100%. That was one where, like, you were almost just exhausted by the end of it just watching, because it was just nonstop and it was incredible. So, yeah, I will remember that one for a while.
I will, too. So let's talk the top two, because the top two for Oklahoma City scored 74. The top two for the Wolves scored 21. Add the third, Chet Holmgren, who was fabulous himself. So let's start on the Wolves side. I thought Ant in the second half, and afterwards I saw you and the reporters asking him, he felt like he was making the right play. I thought he was making the right play a lot. Would I have liked him to be a little more decisive? Yes, but they were loading up on him so much, whereas I just thought Julius, who, you know, up until the first half or through the first half of game one, I just started saying, who else is playing better than them, clear cut better than them? And I get you could say Brunson and Halliburton, but at that point, Jace, as you know, Julius was just phenomenal. And then the next six quarters, he wasn't very good. Then he bounced back, was good to very good in game three, but he faced a lot of defensive pressure. But he didn't, he was holding the ball too much. He was putting his back to other defenders. He was allowing double teams. If you want to go at Ant, I get it a little bit, but I think he played better than his numbers. To me, Randall deserves the scrutiny and the criticism today among the top two guys for the Wolves.
Yeah, I would only say this in terms of Ant. I think he was definitely one of the reasons why the offense played so well. I think he was making the right play. I think in the second half especially, he was being more aggressive to just break down the defense.
For sure.
And then creating for others. I mean, you look at the Wolves. 126. They scored 41 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I wouldn't nitpick on anybody's offense as to why they lost that game. But they did lose the game on the glass, and they did lose the game defensively. And Ant was really bad on both of those, in my opinion. Alex Caruso, a couple backdoor cuts, and there are spots in there where Ant's responsible for two guys there because of the help that's happening with Shea, and he just lost and wasn't able to do that. So that, I mean, like, if you look at defense is why they lost, rebounding is why they lost, Ant wasn't very good in either area. So I'm okay if you want to say he wasn't good enough there, because in game three, he was everywhere. I mean, he was a star player in every sense, and he was not the same player to that level. And I wonder sometimes if offensively, if you, while making the right play, are mitigated in terms of like how much you can score and impact the game in that way, is that maybe impacting the way you're approaching every other area? Because that can't be the case. But I agree with you that I mean, Julius Randle, that was an egg. No question about it in every way, shape, and form. And he just kind of, you know, you hate to say like a guy like checked out, but he really kind of did seem to do so. And after the game, he's like, I got to get myself more involved in actions. And it's like, we can't be hearing that multiple times in the same series, you know, like, and it really is like, you look at that first half of game one, I mean, he was hitting a lot of spot up threes, but yes. As far as like consistent things that he is generating on his own in this series, been little to none of it. So OKC has, I think, just has the physicality and the defensive execution. I mean, attention to detail where they know his game, like they know the scout on Julius, and they are making the things that he wants to do very difficult, and he's having a hard time adapting. Where the thing, look, against the Lakers, against Golden State, Julius was able to do what is Julius's main form of offensive basketball, and it was all coming kind of easy. And credit to him that it came easy, because it usually doesn't against a Draymond Green of the world. But now OKC is taking away his, you know, option one, and he's not really finding option two and option three. And it's just and not impacting the game in any way, shape, or form, and you can't have that out of your supposed number two player.
Mm-hmm. 100% right. Excellent analysis, as always, from Jace Frederick. From the Pioneer Press, he has an excellent story in there today. He'll be flying out tomorrow. Game 5, Oklahoma City now heavily, heavily, heavily favored to win this series. I thought the physical play was great last night. I enjoyed it. Obviously, the crowd was out for blood, man. I mean, they were every call, they were upset. Finch was upset with every call. There were three or four calls where I was shaking my head, but then I'm thinking, three or four calls in a lot of games, and very few are this physical. Very few are played at this level. What did you think about the Oklahoma City whistle versus the Wolves whistle? Because I think too many people in the public are obsessed with it. And I thought the Wolves were, God, I just thought they were spending too much time in their heads on some calls on the balance of, those are three really good refs. They were letting them go. Yeah, and the one that stood out as much as any was when Shea just elbowed his cousin right in the throat in a key sequence where I forget if it was Kennedy or Zarba had the angle. But what did you just think about that part of what was taking place last night?
Yeah, sure. Like you said, you know, there's going to be a few calls in every game where you go, oh, I didn't like that one. But, like, in general, I thought it was pretty consistent. You know, like, at one point in the free throws, like, if you should say, okay, there should always be a discrepancy because Oklahoma City is a little handsier than anybody else. I think at one point, like a key point in the game before it started getting so foul heavy at the end intentionally, it was like 24-13 free throws in favor of Minnesota.
Yep.
It was like, yes, you're going to miss a few here or there, but I thought like the game was pretty well officiated in general. And if you want to talk about, hey, Finch and the players got in their heads a little bit about it, that's what this team is. Like that. Yes. I mean, Chris Finch talks to the refs more than any coach probably in the NBA every single time down, even on a Tuesday night in February. So yeah, it's not surprising that that case would happen again here and that the fans would get ramped up with it as well. I thought in game three, they obviously set just a really physical tone themselves and were not wrapped up in the whistle whatsoever. But games one and two, like, I think this whole series, they've come into it, and they did the same thing with the Lakers, but the series just went their way. They go into it with like a mindset of here's what it's going to be, and we're going to have to overcome it, which you can say maybe sounds good to prepare yourself, but I just think they get themselves too mentally thinking about it before the basketball even begins, and I do think that can be kind of a detriment to you. So I think that's something that if they look back, if this series doesn't go their way, that might be something they have to adjust a little bit moving forward of like,
I agree.
Let's not think that we're going to get screwed here before any basketball has even been played, because that is going to impact the way you view every single call or whatnot as a series unfolds.
Jace, I'm going to put you on hold. Keep going because he's so good. Jace Frederick on the Wolves. They lose last night. Thrilling game. But they're in trouble. They're in deep, deep trouble. They're trailing a 68-win team. They got to play two of the next three, if there really even is two of the next three, at a loud, loud building against a great team. I just don't see it happening, and I'm the guy who thought they would win this series. So they're down 3-1 right now. So more of Jace from the Pioneer Press in moments on the Wolves. Much more to discuss, but I want to talk Aquarius again, and I want to emphasize this part. When Aquarius says, and they're so right, they want to earn the right to be recommended. Okay. They've earned that for me, because way before I was doing spots, even going back to talking about Aquarius in Kinetico at the Fan, I had Kinetico come out and installed drinking water system and a water softener at the house we purchased in the early to mid-90s. Right away, then I thought, these guys are really good. Guess what? They haven't just stayed status quo. They keep improving their drinking water system. It gets better and better. Because guess what? Even if you're in the same city, you don't know what is changing with the water quality. Do you honestly know the water quality where you live? Aquarius, AquariusHomeservices.com, they'll come out and take a look and see what you have right there. I have a water drinking system at the place I'm living in now, and I'm moving. Finally, after a long, long time in this neighborhood, way back in the aughts, and I made sure Aquarius was going to be a part of it. They should be in the mix for you. They are a family-owned company with, in this state, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of customers. They're not just drinking water, okay? They're not just water softener. You think of your utility room, they're one-stop shop for cooling, heating, water treatment, plumbing, electric. They can take care of everything in that area. Track them down online, AquariusHomeServices.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
RFK Jr., pretty dramatic announcement. Not surprising considering what he said before about the COVID vaccine, but going above the normal process of the CDC on who they will recommend COVID shots to. So Mike Osterholm from the U of M has been our COVID guy and really been a guest of mine for 25, 30 years. So, Mike, on those changes, in about 15 minutes, we continue with Jace Frederick from the Pioneer Press and what happened last night at Target Center. Wolves going down now 3-1. They lose by 2. We talked about it before, but it's just so important. Let's keep it going a little bit. The Wolves have 23 turnovers. It's almost surprising that Oklahoma City didn't score more than 22 points off those turnovers. They gave up 19 offensive boards. So when the other team gets 11 more shots than you, it's almost impossible to win. Now, I know we can line up all these areas where the Wolves won the statistical category, and it's a long list, as you pointed out. But 23 turnovers and 19 offensive boards that you allowed to your opponent, which turns into 11 more shots, and it was higher than that at times during the game. And you're playing a great team like that, which is they're playing a huge role in causing those issues. You just can't play that untidy in that area in that sort of pivotal game. You win that game, and all of a sudden, you firmly establish equal footing. It's three games. You absolutely can win the series. And now you win this series one out of every 100 times. Those two stats were enormous parts of what happened last night.
Yeah, Chad, when you look at it, I mean, the Thunder had 19 offensive rebounds, so did the Wolves. And then you look at points off turnovers, and the Wolves had more than the Thunder did, but significantly fewer turnovers for Oklahoma City. So you could look at it and say, oh, all things pretty equal there. But the reality is, like, you have to beat the Thunder in both of those areas.
Yes.
If you are to beat them in the course of a series. You can't be playing these things to a draw because you see, like, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they have the MVP on their team. Jalen Williams has been significantly better than even I anticipated he would be. But
same.
They have some big-time shot makers, and you don't really want to go down, you know, to the wire with them. You want to beat them in the areas that are controllable, and Minnesota hasn't done that. And I think what's interesting is this is all very similar to the way they played against the Warriors. Too many turnovers, giving up too many second chance points, but the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry, and the talent gap was pretty huge, so they kind of got away with it. These scrappy defenses, they just haven't been clean enough against either one, frankly, that they've seen in these last two rounds, and Oklahoma City is too good for it. So those are things that I think Minnesota felt they had cleaned up throughout the course of the season, but maybe warts that we saw earlier in the year that are kind of reappearing at the worst times. Just not, and you can point out, hey, maybe they do have to upgrade another ball handler in the offseason, things like that. Maybe these are just roster deficiencies, but whatever the case may be, finding a solution now seems unlikely, but these are things that I guess coming into the series, maybe we could have had a better sense was probably coming.
Well, when you look and you wrote about it, check out Jason's story on the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. When you get 22 out of Jaden, when you get 21 out of Dante, and you get 23 out of Nah, and you're playing, Nah plays, you know, 29 minutes, Dante plays 28, Jaden plays 31. You get plus 20 from those three guys. I tell you that before the game, you're thinking Minnesota wins that game 19 out of 20 times.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Correct. Those things, they shoot like that, 64 bench points. Like, I mean, I would have said, oh, they blew them out again. You know, okay, like this series is on. And it just didn't work out that way. And it was like, you know, these guys would just hit these massive shots. Like, and the keel was, it wasn't even just the three that was falling. Like, he was driving to the hoop and finishing, like, just incredible things. Like, I'd have to go back and look.
Hard, difficult inside shots, right? Just contorting his body.
Absolutely. Like, and these are times where he has these flashes where you're like, man, what is in there for, like, the peak of this player? And then he has other times where it's like, it doesn't look confident enough. But I'd have to look and see, like, specifically, you know, he had that play-in game a couple of years ago against the Thunder. Like, how well does this guy play against OKC and his cousin? I'd be interested to look that up. But... you know, you're right. Like, you can't get those and lose. I was wildly impressed with the Thunder of every time I thought Minnesota, like, landed a massive blow. They always just, like, had a little counter. They would hit a tough shot here and there. But that's why, like, it is a team that has grown up. I think the Thunder have grown up. I think they've really used their experience last year and earlier in this playoffs against Denver to learn things and develop and be ready and be able to counter these punches and all this stuff. And that's why I think, like, to put this team away, you're going to have to really outplay them. And last night, Minnesota just didn't really outplay them in all the key gritty areas, and they paid for it in the end. Like, hey, look, if that exact game plays out, you know, again and again, Minnesota might win more than it loses. I'm not sure. But, like, you're putting yourself in a spot where it's up in the air. It's a 50-50. And at that point, like, that's what you're letting your season be determined by. And it is that way because you weren't clean enough.
Shai wins the MVP. I think most of us still, rightfully so, think Joker is the better player. But
right.
I want you to tell me what's changed in your evaluation of Shai after four games. And just point out last night, yeah, he shot 43%. He was 13-30. But I love that he just put it on his shoulders, too. You know, I was talking to a bunch of people before the game. We bumped into each other, too. I kept saying, I bet he gets 17 the first quarter. I just thought he was going to establish. You know, and a couple people, no, I think he's going to distribute. I go, oh, he will eventually. I just think he's going to really try to establish after the butt kicking on Saturday that he's in the middle of it. So I didn't have a problem the fact that he took 30 shots if I'm Oklahoma City. 40 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. Yeah, he gets a couple calls. We know it. How is your opinion, if any, changed about him, seeing him up close after these four games?
Yeah, so I thought he was a great player. I think I would have voted for Jokic as the MVP, but I, you know, the all season was like, I give a massive credit to Shai and the season he's having to even make me think about it.
Really. Yeah, right.
Because usually I'd be, I just check the Jokic box and move on. But I think it's just the maturity. I mean, you see it in the post game, you know, back and forth when they lost by game three, they showed by 40 points, they show the clip of him on the bench and he's explaining to the teammate, like, they did this and this, but we have to improve this and this if we're going to do anything here. I mean, it was so dead on. It was just like analysis in the moment where he is just level-headed and like, here's why this happened. Here's what we have to fix. And then last night, like, as the Wolves are just raining down triples on them and going on these little like quick 9-0 run to make it a tie game, 7-0 run, whatever, he just sensed the moment of like, okay, I need to control this possession. And oftentimes that was getting to his mid shot and scoring, but also at the same time, playing like cat and mouse with Minnesota with the gap help defender, and the second that the gap help defender came in just too far, it was immediate pass for the wide open three. Like, he just controlled that game, and that's why I didn't really feel like I thought Minnesota was ever going to win that game down the stretch, because I thought their best player seems to be the one who has control of this game right now. And he wasn't going to let them lose, and certainly Jalen Williams was on the capitalizing end of all those shots, and those have to go in as well for it to go the Thunder's way. But I just, the maturity that he has exemplified on and off the court and the control that he has of this team is at maybe even a higher level than I anticipated.
I'm with you on all those points. And listen, Anthony Edwards is a wondrous player, you know, and he's somewhere, maybe he's the seventh best player, maybe six, maybe he's eight, wherever. Mm-hmm. That guy's second, and only because there's this historic mythic god in Denver who's going to end up as maybe, I don't know, the 10th or 9th greatest player of all time. But right. The fact you can give Shea the ball possession after possession after possession, and I don't know, 80% of the time he's going to make the right decision. Whereas Ant, he wants the ball, but he's not at that level. That's not his strength as much. You still would love when Conley's out there or somebody else who can facilitate for him and set him up. That's just one of the core differences in a modern-day point guard, not the classic point guard, because Shea is much more of a scorer than the classic point guard. And Ant, who's trying to do a little bit more, but if he ever plays with a great point guard, that's why, you know, when Conley has those really smart games that you write about and he can feature Ant, you say, that taps a part of Edwards that really gets him to a different level. And he's doing both those responsibilities on the offensive end, and you're so right with your earlier answer. Then when he gets burned on some, he's still mainly good on the one-on-one defensive plays, but when right. he gets burned on the team defense or isn't rebounding enough, that's when the difference stands out even more.
I think with Ant, the thing where you just see defenses and the attention they can pay to him, and Minnesota has counters, but so oftentimes that does require Ant to be thinking the game more in the moment of like, I've got to sprint down the court so then I can get to the baseline, and then we can have me coming up to the top of the floor through action and catching. And that requires a different energy and a different focus, and sometimes those rarely adjustments happen in-game. But I think for him to be a player that can't be taken out just by the defensive look, because we see so many of these stars, like you can throw any look you want at them and they're still going to impact the game. Offensively, and Ant did impact the game, but I mean, like, get the ball out of their hands. Like, the Wolves can't get the ball out of Shea's hands. It's going to need a tighter handle, I think, if he's going to be that guy who, no matter what, can be the guy with the ball in his hands and making plays out of it, just even coming down the floor and really controlling the game in that sense, in the way that like a Shea can or even a Luka at his peak can. Like, you do need a certain handle, I think, and a certain understanding of, here's how I'm going to get to my spot through no matter what look I'm getting, no matter what the help is, anything. So that's a little ways to go, but he certainly has time to do it, and if we've seen anything from Ant, it's that he kind of does recognize the things that he has to do to elevate, and each offseason he picks something and he gets better at it and ascends as a player. So I don't really have any doubt that he's going to continue to ascend, but certainly you see the differences in this series between like a Shea and an Ant.
Great, great stuff. I appreciate it, my friend. Travel safe tomorrow, and I'll be reading your stuff throughout the week.
Thanks so much, Chad. Appreciate it.
Jace Frederick, really good. 33 past one, RFK Jr. and changes with COVID shot recommendations. Our guy, Mike Ostrom, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerd! Yes.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.